Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
I just think about our relationships, even in the home. You know, many times the Lord will put us, and I'm not talking about my house or anybody's house in particular, but I'm just saying the closest relationships many times are the ones that the Lord will bring out all the bad, all the stuff that's in us that's selfish and critical and whatever our nature is. Nobody here knows what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, and he's going to bring that out. And your kids are going to drive you crazy sometimes. I mentioned this last time we talked about this, and I thought it was like the other week or something. It was January the last time we talked about God's love. But anyway, I'll just mention this briefly. I can't ever remember my parents disciplining me and my not having this sense that it was done out of love. I never felt condemned. I never felt that they were angry with me and taking it out and, you know, straighten up, you're messing with me, you're making my day miserable, just go away. You know, hide in your room and get away from me, I don't even want to be around you. It wasn't that spirit at all. It was always with I can't let you get away with this because I know it's bad for you. I know it. I know where that road goes, and I love you enough to stop you. And I understand where it comes from because I'm made of the same stuff. There's not one of us that can look at somebody else and interact with them and see their faults that has any right to point a finger and say, "What's wrong with you? Go look in the mirror." One way or another, you're the same way. We need the Lord, don't we? And I feel like the Lord's burden is to remind us of this simple truth, this simple principle. I don't know how long I'm going to be, but I couldn't get away from it. I would say, "Well, Lord, I don't have this organized. I don't know. Is this really you?" And then something else would happen, and something else would happen, and a thought would come and say, "All right. This must be what we need. It doesn't matter if we've heard it." God wants, do you think God wants to be with us this morning, for starters? But do you think when people come in here, what is it that they need to see? Just a friendly bunch of people, or do they need to see Him? Well, if they're going to see Him, He's going to have to be in, not just in us, but through us. So that our relationships, our attitudes, our deeds, our everything reflects that spirit and not what we were born with. And that's what the Lord's wanting to clean up. And I guess I started to say a while ago, if God's going to change those things, and we are being changed into His image, meaning we're not there, we got a lot of work. He's got a lot of work. But if He's going to do that, He is going to have to put you with somebody that you don't like, that rubs you the wrong way, and teach you how to act and react. Now, it's wonderful when He can take two people that rub each other the wrong way and work in both of them and bring out harmony. That's wonderful. But what happens if He doesn't fix the other person? First place, it's not your job to fix them. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." You've got to be kidding. Well, He did. He died for all, didn't He? There was both thieves on the cross. There He was dying for them. Both of them were mocking Him at the beginning. Somewhere along the line, one of them woke up and started paying attention and realized who this really was. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "After the life you lived, you got to be kidding me." "No," he said, "today you will be with me in paradise." That's the heart that God wants us to have towards other people. There are people that could come in here that we would say, what in the world is somebody like that doing in our midst? Their lives are so messed up. They're such a bunch of sinners. That's the people Jesus came to save. If anybody feels that way, we're not much like him, are we? We're going to have a heart that can see past need. With a song, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And we all got it, don't we? I just pray that God will do something fresh in me and in all of us. Because this gets to the heart of everything. As I say, how can God move in power and change hearts and lives if we're not even letting him flow in this very basic way? If he can't flow through us to somebody, how can he help them through us? And we're just sitting here pretending. Now, I don't believe we're pretending, but you know what I'm saying. God wants to focus, wants to shine a light in every one of our eyes and our lives and say, oh God, this is the most critical thing. I mean, these people had grown up with a religion of commandments. The Ten Commandments, and then the law had sort of fleshed all of that out as to how it's supposed to work in society, and it was all about keeping the commandments, and if you mess up, you got to offer a sacrifice. And Jesus said, one commandment, got one for you, love one another, as I have loved you. And doesn't Paul say in one place, this is the whole law, love your neighbor as yourself, that's it. You do that, you don't need any of the other commandments because they'll all happen. I'll tell you what, we need Jesus to come and to live in us, and we need to be willing for him to change us and humble us when we need to be humbled, and not make our love and our positive attitude towards somebody be dependent on their behavior and their performance. We all do it. In some relationship or other, when you get right, then we'll be good. Otherwise, just stay away from me. I don't want to mess with you. God help us. You know, there's some pretty sobering words that John gave us. I may turn over there and read it at some point. But he said, you know, love one another, for love is what? Of God. Love is from God, or depending on the translation. Love one another, for love is of God. That's where it comes from. That's the only way we can do it. God's going to have to live in us. But he that does not love does not know God. That's why somebody who is just religious, never been born again, they can't even do this. But here's Jesus saying, love your enemies? And what we call, what humans call love is people who like each other, and they form these little cliques, and they connect together because they share common interests, and they shut out others, they ignore them. That's not love. That's not love at all. And God wants to deliver us from every form of that. I guess I'm repeating myself in a lot of ways, but how do we do this? You know, one of the scriptures that popped into my mind, I'll go ahead and refer to it. I don't want to get into all of the all of what it says, but in Galatians, Paul was dealing with a problem in the church. Churches have problems. The devil does everything he can to undermine. He hates this message this morning. He hates this truth. Not that there's anything great about the message itself or the sermon, but he hates this truth. He's going to do everything he can to divide God's people and to make them feel justified in that division. But these people had been misled. Somehow the law of Moses had come into it, and they had been taught that, yes, thank you for what Jesus did, but you got to keep the law to be accepted by God. Paul says that's not the basis at all. It's looking to what Jesus did from the heart. Okay? And so he says, in the last part of verse 6 of chapter 5, the only thing that counts, interesting translation, The only thing that counts is what? Faith expressing itself through love. You want to know the essence of the kingdom of God? There it is. Because it tells you love is the center, but how do I get to that? How do I acquire love? How does that even happen? I'm going to have faith. Well, it certainly isn't faith in me. It's not faith in a preacher. It's not faith in a religious movement. It's faith in Jesus Christ and His promises and all that He has purchased for us at that terrible price on the cross. My hope is going to be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, completely lean on Jesus' name. There's going to have to be not just a theoretical thing where I know all the right stuff here. It's going to have to be a living day-by-day relationship where I am drawing. I'm plugged in. We've used that expression many times. There's a source of power, but I'm not just saying, yeah, there's the power. I believe in it. We're connected. We're literally going to Him every day, every time we feel a sense of need of any kind whatsoever. Lord, I got a need, but I know where to go. I know what Your promise is. I know that You're here to strengthen me and to help me do what I have not the power to do. But what is that power for? So we can feel powerful? No. It's so that we have the power to express through love. And that working, that expressing itself through love is, in the Greek is work. It's energy. It's working. It's the word from which we get our word energy. And it means this is a working thing, and it's present tense. I mean, this is a lifestyle. This is the characteristic of our life. That when people encounter us, they're encountering the love of God because His love is operating in us and not just a theory we practice on Sunday. I don't know what else to say particularly, but I pray that God will do something fresh in me. I pray that as we get together, that God will help us. And if there is anything between you and somebody else, that God will get you right regardless of what happens to them. Don't make your love conditional. God's love for you is not conditional. It's there. Now, He may not approve of what you're doing and may love you enough to tell you about it, but He's not standing there looking down, demanding something from you before He'll accept you. It's not conditional. He loves. I can't put it into words, because we just don't think that way. Anybody here just thinks that way, right? We don't. Think about how He loves you. You think maybe we need to spend more time with the Lord and meditating on what He's done for us?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.